Today I want to encourage you with something to really just remind us of something big. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Did you hear that? Jesus is coming back. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." So encourage one another with these words. Jesus is coming back! Did I mention that? Did you guys get the memo? Get the email? Get the text message? See the billboard? Jesus is coming back to take us to be with him forever. I don't know where you are in the spectrum of all that. I know that just that talk about that as a kid, that would bring out my biggest fear. But I've found that as I've grown in just age, as I've grown older, but also as I've matured in my relationship with God and my faith in him, that it's moved from my biggest fear to my blessed hope. I mean, in the past, it felt like as I was growing up, we would talk about the return of Jesus, and there seemed to be this ominous tone about it. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And there's this little bit of a feel of fear that would creep up in you like, wait, Jesus is coming back? I'm in trouble. What am I going to do? I remember right before Y2K, there was an individual that my wife and I know that he was single, and he was like, there was all this concern, man, Y2K, Jesus is coming back, and there was all this fear and concern. And so I remember him talking to us one time in about the mid-90s at some point. He's just like, man, I'm not ready for Jesus. I want Jesus to come back, but I'm not ready for Jesus to come back because I want to get married. I want to have a family. And then it seemed like within 6 months or a year, he's married, and then it was like they had a kid really fast. It was like he was determined. Jesus is coming back by Y2K. I'm having a wife and a kid by Y2K. It was kind of funny to watch that. Or I heard it taught. I remember one preacher came in, he was talking one time, and he was growing up in this era where they're like, Jesus is coming back, this real ominous tone, this real concern. And so this idea was, what if Jesus catches you doing that? And he remembers he snuck out and he went to a movie theater one day. He's watching a movie and he's sitting there watching the movie. And about halfway through the movie, he remembers that thought of some preacher getting up at his church and saying, Jesus is coming back. What if Jesus catches you doing that? And so he thought, man, I don't want Jesus to catch me at a movie theater. So he got up in the middle of the movie and walked out. That fear. As a child growing up, I was like, if no one is home, my first thought was, where is everybody? Was I left behind? And I'd get home and I'd run around the whole house. Where are they? I'm opening all the doors. Are they hiding from me? No, they're not here. And it made it even worse if you ever got home and a car was there. Because then at some point, if the cars aren't there, you're like, logically, at some point it would kick in. Oh, they're gone because they're not here. But then if their vehicle was there, then it's the worst. And I've shared this story. One time I went with my mom. I was in junior high. We went to the mall, and I was just kind of bored. As she's shopping in Dillard's or one of those stores picking out outfits, she zigged, I zagged. And at some point, she just found some outfits and went and tried them on in a changing room. I'm walking around, and I'm like, my mom is gone. And then I'm running around the store. My mom is gone. Did my mom leave without me? You know, I'm thinking, you know, I am trouble sometimes. Maybe she left without me. I run out to the parking lot. The car's there. Wait, where's my mom? I'm left behind. I go back in the store. I'm running around the store. My mom is not here. I am clearly left behind. So then at that point on, I start concocting. What am I going to do if I'm left behind? Where am I going to go? I'm like, my great-grandpa owns property in southern Illinois. I could go down there and live off the land. I could be there. It would be great. But then I have all these thoughts because as a teen growing up, we would have watch night services on the 31st of every year. And at some point they thought, hey, let's show really scary movies about what the end times could be like. And then they'd eat sandwiches afterward. And so I can remember watching these scary movies, and there's some that are still burned into my mind of things that happened. And I thought, well, maybe it was just unique to me. And I talked to a friend around the same age that grew up in the AG also in just a different state. And he was like, we did the same thing. And one night we were hanging out, and we looked up YouTube videos of the old clips of those old movies to watch the scary parts again. But so then growing up, I'm like, I'm going to die. There's going to be tribulation. I'm going to have to live through the tribulation. And then there's like going to be all these things that happen to me. It's my biggest fear happening right now. What am I going to do? So I'm like, I'm going to move down to Southern Illinois, go into the woods, live off the land. I'm going to bury a tunnel into the ground so I can hide out so helicopters flying over can't find me. Like I had this whole land. I'm left behind. But somewhere it switched from my biggest fear to my blessed hope. Jesus is coming back. Now, I do get the why behind it. I do get the why behind that ominous sense, in a way. One, Jesus warned us to be ready. In Mark 13:32, Jesus said this, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard, stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeepers to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, at daybreak, don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I mean, in their culture, the master, the guy with the wealth, tended not to travel at night because there was a high probability you're going to get robbed. But that gatekeeper had a job to do. He had to make sure the house was secure, the place was secure. He's the one that kept the keys to let people in or to let people out. He had a big responsibility. You don't want the boss to show up in the middle of the night when you're not expecting him because he's normally not traveling at night because it's dangerous. You don't want to be caught by him arriving and you not being at your post. Not going to be good. Like Bill knows this. He re-enlisted in the military. Or he got a haircut. But for those of you that were in the military, you know you don't want your commanding officer to catch you not doing your job. It doesn't go well. And so here it is, there's that sense of tone, that warning of be ready, be prepared. Let Jesus find you alert and ready, prepared for his return. I get that. It's also this sense of ominous feel to it because it's a mystery. We don't know when things are going to happen. It's mysterious. So it creates this sense of what are we going to do? We don't know for sure. It's serious business because we want to warn and rescue people from God's wrath. And sometimes it's a little bit of crowd motivation to live a holy lifestyle. I mean, do you really want Jesus to catch you doing that? But do I anticipate the return of Jesus with this sense of fear or with anticipation? And the Bible mentions Jesus' return over 300 times. It's not like this minor little thing tucked away in the corner like, oh yeah, and Jesus is coming back. Over 300 times, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is returning. Jesus is coming back for us. That's an exciting thing to think about. It's a big deal. Big deal. Now, when I was growing up, my dad traveled a lot for his job. And you never knew when he was coming back into town. You would have good sense, but you never knew for sure. Sometimes my brother and I would try to quiz my mom to kind of get an idea. When's dad going to be back in town? Because sometimes dad showed up early and he'd pick us up from school. When he did that, it was awesome because we went to Steak and Shake. And we had those neat little super thin shoestring French fry things that are so delicious. And you're like, that was really neat. But there's other times you just wanted to know because the last thing you wanted to do is dad to show up and you to be doing something you're not supposed to be doing. You're like, no, we don't want to get caught, you know, so we want to make sure that we kind of get an idea. But we never knew when my dad was going to pop back into town from when he was on his business trips. No, I changed that because that was fear. But I've changed that because as I've been married now for almost 25 years, there occasionally my wife will travel. And I've learned over the years that when she comes back, I want to have the house looking nice so that when she comes back, she wants to be back. Not when she gets back and it's like the sink has dishes piled up to the roof, you know, and where I even went and bought more dishes so I didn't have to do dishes. I don't want there to be a mess everywhere. I want the place to be nice so that when she returns, she doesn't want to leave. Because that's going to be the last feeling, like worst feeling. My wife's been gone for a few days traveling, then walks in the door, turns around, walks right back out. That would be a horrible thing. I want her to be around. I enjoy her company. I want to live at a place where I have a faith fueled, not a fear-filled anticipation of Jesus' return. I'm looking forward to it. Jesus, you're coming back. Jesus, I'm looking forward to that moment. But then we live in that tension of being ready, not ready. We have that tension. We have the tension of the hope of Jesus' soon return with the urgency of the mission. We have to reach a world for Jesus. Jesus, come back. But Jesus, use us to reach the world. Or we also have that tension. Hey, we live in a great nation. We got our problems. Feels like it's self-destructing right now, but we live in a great nation. We have great opportunity. And it's kind of like we enjoy life. So how many times have you ever caught yourself? Jesus, I want you to come back. Jesus, come back soon. But can you let me, you know, get married? Can you let me have a career? Can you let me have children? Can you let me have grandchildren? Well, now, Jesus, I've worked my whole life. You know, can you help me have a great retirement? Jesus, I want all that. And then you can come back. You know, ready, not ready. Jesus, come back. But, you know, take your time. And then you throw in the mystery of, Jesus, when are you coming back? But I think it's really wise of God not to let us know. Because if he's like, hey, I'm coming back on, you know, February 29th, 2024, you're like, hey, Mark, there's not a February 29th, 2024. Well, there might be because of leap year. If I said February 30th, then we got a whole other problem. But you're like, if we knew when Jesus was coming back, the time and the date, you know, our natural sinful self would love that. Because we're like, hey, if I knew when Jesus is coming back, then I can get into a lot of trouble. And then once I get closer to it, then I can make myself right. I can kind of clean myself up and, you know, then take things seriously. But I'll just do my own thing right now. Because we just have that propensity to do that kind of stuff. I'll look good for his arrival. I'm just going to party it up right now. Or we wait till the last minute to take things seriously. To take the mission seriously. Well, let's wait till the last minute instead of making the most of every opportunity building up to that last opportunity. Ready, not ready. Or then the reality that soon seems to take forever. Yeah, we know this. You go to the doctor's office. Hey, the doctor's going to talk to you soon. 3 hours later. Soon takes forever. You go to a restaurant. Hey, it's only going to be 5 minutes till you get your table. 20 minutes later. Hey, the waitress walks by, the waiter walks by. Hey, they're making your food. It's going to be out here soon. Sure. And then you're surprised when it does. You're like, yes, but soon takes forever. The early followers of Jesus, they had this life devoted to the expectation that Jesus was coming back at any point. Even that verse I read to you at the very beginning, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, they anticipated Jesus was coming back within their lifetimes, and then they're watching their friends die either by natural causes or persecution. They're watching their friends die, so they're thinking, man, we're in trouble. They're dying. They're not even going to be with Jesus now because they're dead. There's no hope for them. What are we going to do? There's not going to be hope for us if we pass before he comes because their thought was Jesus is coming back at any moment. He's going to be back here soon. But soon's taking forever. I mean, how often did you growing up, if you've grown up in the church and you were at the end of a year, the talk was, hey, this next year could be the year that Jesus comes back. For some of you, you've heard that 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 times. This could be the year Jesus comes back. Do you realize, though, this could be the year Jesus comes back? This could be. 2022 could be the year that Jesus comes back. And a lot of times we focus on the here and now. Our eyes are always on right now. Some of us are better planners, but we live focused on the here and now. We focus on the perspective of our short lives. But God has the ability to step back and see things from the perspective of eternity. And so what seems long to us is short to God. But soon, God's going to say, it's enough. He's going to look over at Jesus and say, it's enough. And I don't know how it's going to go in heaven. I don't know if God's sitting on his throne and he pulls out a case and he hands it over to Jesus and Jesus opens the case and he pulls out the trumpet. And he takes it and he hands it over to Gabe. It's like, Gabriel, play the horn. Get their attention. Because to the culture that this was written to, they were like, when you blew the horn, it was to get everybody's attention. It was either, hey, we need to all meet together. We have a big assembly. So blow the horn. Get everybody there. We want to gather them up because we have something to share with them. We need to have a family meeting, a town meeting. Or it meant, hey, we're at war and we got to go take on the enemy. That trumpet meant something. It was loud. It got people's attention. But at some point, God's just going to look over and say, it's time. It's enough. Jesus is going to stand up and he's going to walk out of the room. And he's like, I'm going to go get him. He's going to go, Gabriel, blow the horn. Gather the people. I'm coming for them. Sorry, Carson. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last moment. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. To take us to be with him. And we're like, when? Give me a sign. Show me. And we get fixated with the signs. And there's been so many times that we've even grown up where we've heard, oh, this is the sign Jesus is coming back. This is what is going to happen before Jesus comes back. And we can get so fixated on trying to figure out the signs. Can I encourage you to step back and focus on the Lord and not the signs? You don't focus on the signs when you're driving, do you? Hopefully you're focused on where you're going. I allow the signs to guide me, but my eyes are focused on the road because where I'm looking is where I'll drift. If I'm too preoccupied with the signs, I'm going to drive right into them. I want to be focused on the road. May I encourage you, be focused on Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Theologically, we would say it this way. Jesus' return is our blessed hope. It's the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in Christ and their translation together with those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord is imminent. And remain unto the coming of the Lord because the coming of the Lord is the imminent and blessed hope of the church. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from the godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to return personally. He's going to return unexpectedly. He's going to return with glory. Jesus is coming back to take us to be with him. Jesus said it this way, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is coming back to take us to be with him. Jesus is coming back to judge and reward. He's going to give us a performance review of our life as Christ followers. So really step back and think about the reality of what are my motives? How did I use the time, the talents, the opportunities available to me? Jesus is coming back to set the world stage in motion for the great tribulation, then the reign of Christ and God's final judgment. He's setting it all in motion to wrap everything up. So Jesus' return, his soon return, should motivate me to be ready, to be alert and prepared for his return, to be alert, to look for, to anticipate, to pursue a thriving relationship with Jesus, to live in a way that is pleasing to God, to be obedient, to be holy, to be full of worship, wholehearted devotion, full of joy. God, I just love you. I look forward to you coming back. I look forward to you being with you forever. When my wife and I were dating, we had a whole season of time where we lived in different states. And I look forward to those moments where we were together. I couldn't wait for those moments. And it could be weeks go by before there was an opportunity for us to see each other. And I'm like, man, I can't wait. Man, how much better it's going to be when Jesus, our Savior, with him forever. Jesus, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to hang out with you. I can't wait to be near you. Jesus' soon return should also focus me on living missionally, where I make the most of every opportunity because I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to have, because at some point, an opportunity is going to be my last opportunity I have to interact with somebody or to show them Jesus. So remembering I need to reevaluate my priorities, my hobbies, my time usage, everything. I want to make sure that I'm making the most of the moments, because I want to warn people. I want to reach people. Am I doing what I can to warn people of God's coming wrath? Am I doing what I can to direct people towards Jesus? Because soon he's coming back. Am I ready for his return? Yes and no. I want him to come back, but not always. But man, may our hearts be, God, I want to be near you. God, I want to know you. God, I want to be close to you. Because soon he's going to pick it up. And if I could blow the trumpet, I haven't done it in a long time, so it'll sound bad. I can't even do it anymore. But soon he's going to blow the trumpet. And we're out of here. We're going to blow the trumpet. We're gone. We're going to blow the trumpet and we're with him. He's going to blow the trumpet and it's not this, hold on, get back to you. Hold on, I got some stuff to finish. Hold on. No, it's out. To be with him forever. And it's going to be way better than anything we have here. Because he's preparing a place for us. And if you just think through that reality, if God created everything in 6 days on our earth, which is pretty phenomenal if you get a chance to travel, there are some very amazing, beautiful places. If Jesus has been spending 2,000 years preparing a place for us, I would imagine it's going to be awesome. Where we just spend years walking around going, wow, wow. Because we've traveled to places and we wonder how in the world it can be so beautiful, how in the world it can be so amazing, different places in this world. It doesn't matter what climate you're in. Sitting in the desert, there's beauty in the desert. The rainforest, there's just beauty. And you wonder, how do plants grow this way? How do they do it? Can you imagine all the creativity and the time as God's preparing a place for us to be with him forever? What an amazing, awesome thing that is going to be. Did you guys get this? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Maybe we be alert to that. Maybe we ready for that. May he find us focused on what matters when he comes back.